Maharshi, the person who helped me distribute them. Thank you. The disclosure, I'm Ray Starr. The following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months. I am employed as a senior biostatistician at LA Care Health Plan, the local initiative health authority of Los Angeles County, California. LA Care is a public entity competing with commercial insurers in the Medicaid and SCHIP markets in LA County. And I'm using the CAPS and HEDIS trademarks for the studies that we did, or the surveys that we used in this study. I'll proceed by this outline, and each heading will appear on the slides that relate to it. First, learning objectives. Advertised before the conference, describe how patients rate pharmacists as sources of instruction. Evaluate patients' ratings of the quality of pharmacist instructions. Then assess the impact of pharmacist instructions on the patient's overall rating of the quality of the healthcare they experience. That will attempt to tie this to a measure that health plan administrators care about and want to improve. Fourth is design question sets on patient surveys to give actionable feedback to pharmacist networks. Then identify barriers that impair pharmacists' communication with patients at the pharmacies. A little background on the health plan. This is the source of the data used in this study. We are roughly 21% of Medicaid managed care in California. We are a mostly Medicaid population, urban, two-thirds pediatric, often Spanish-speaking. We're roughly 2.1% of Medicaid managed care in the U.S. Roughly 1 in 14 LA County residents is a member of the health plan. Again, mostly Medicaid. We serve a number of different language groups or ethnic groups, so it's very diverse. Mostly urban, one high mountain desert area that's semi-rural. In dealing with the emerging role of pharmacists as providers and health educators, I've noticed this evolution over time. An example would be a warfarin regimen is prescribed by an MD, but the monitoring, management, interaction with the patient, instruction of the patient, dosage, and testing are determined and ordered by a PharmD. So we're recognizing increasingly the role of pharmacists as health educators. In the health plan, we try to intervene with doctors and improve the quality of care that they give. And slowly recognizing and learning to recognize that pharmacists are one of those sources of interaction with our patients to help improve the quality of their experience of healthcare. So measurement is a milestone. Development of a questionnaire began in 2006 to assess the quality of pharmacy services. This was by the Pharmacy Quality Alliance. I didn't realize that was starting up. At the same time, we started introducing pharmacy questions into the CAPS question. CAPS questionnaire is a member satisfaction survey that most health plans conduct annually. And we're allowed to add 20 questions to it. We started adding pharmacy questions, pharmacy rating questions in 2006 forward. Health plan CAPS is an affordable monitoring tool because we're doing it anyway, and adding the questions doesn't add much to cost, and it gives us a way to monitor how patients feel about the pharmacy network that we use. Okay, so this is the first question we added. For the following question, if you or your child has, and CAPS comes in two versions. One is for adult patients, the other is for pediatric patients, and that survey is answered by the parent of the child. So where I say child throughout this, it'll be the parent answering. So for adults, this is a left-skewed measure. Most people answer positively on most questions on CAPS. So the belief is that members tend not to want to rate negatively people that they trust their lives with. So there's a little cognitive dissonance there. So it's always heaped up toward the high end of the scale. And so we pay a lot of attention to the bottom end of the scale, telling us where really bad service occurred, and so the member noticed. So even though there are few responses, only about 10% of adults, and roughly 9% of, or about the same percent of parents of children responded very negatively. Okay, so that's the breakdown on this core question that we used for this study. So again, the responses are very favorable. So the analysis, anything that's not perfectly favorable is treated as kind of damning with faint praise. So that's where the power of the question comes in, and that's true of most of CAPS, that anything other than a perfect score and the very excellent or very good score is treated as a negative response. So the good is actually a negative response because that's below the median respondent. So there was something wrong if a person's just answering good on that question. They're answering less than perfect. We found little observed difference between the scores of parents and adults. And so we wanted to focus then, given the question, it gave responses that didn't surprise us. This is typical of the profile on a CAPS question. So we want to focus on how these scores impact other measures of healthcare system performance. To tie pharmacy into how the health plan is rated, it is not a part of the CAPS questionnaire. It used to be that medication access was part of the CAPS questionnaire. The chronic conditions version of the child survey had that. But basically, pharmacy is not present on the CAPS questionnaire. At the same time that PQA, the Pharmacy Quality Alliance, developed a survey like CAPS for surveying pharmacy quality, AHRQ, which sponsors CAPS, the development of the instrument, has since then launched a development effort, and I believe there is now a CAPS for pharmacy. But again, a health plan or a payer would have to go out of their way to pay for that survey to be done, or a pharmacy network would have to pay for that survey to be done, whereas we're piggybacking these questions on a survey that health plans will do anyway. So it's glad to see that there is now an instrument out there for those who are motivated to go and separately measure pharmacy, because then you'll get a sample and an entire questionnaire related to pharmacy. But for now, we're piggybacking it on the health plan survey. So this was the result of testing. Some demographic analysis. We analyzed member language as a potential confounder in rating pharmacist instructions. There's a mixed relationship between member language and the test we're running as chi-squared using the Cochrane Mantle Hansel version of that test to deconfound by language. And so it's significant, highly significant. One reason for, we anticipated language might be part of the issue. The effect is driven almost entirely by a significant relationship in 2011, so it's a bit mixed evidence of there's an interaction with language, but it isn't consistent across years. So parents, there's a mixed relationship. English is positively associated with favorable ratings of pharmacist instructions, while Spanish is negatively associated with favorable ratings, which is kind of backwards from what you would expect. We view these as exploratory findings. The data suggest value in exploring patient language as a confounder. The finding corresponds to a known solution. We have a telephonic interpreter access program where we pay for the telephonic interpreter if the pharmacist will use it and if the member will ask for it, if they're having trouble communicating with the pharmacy and with the pharmacist. And of course, language barrier would be a problem in getting and receiving instructions. The problems being, of course, if the staff is busy, they have to set up a phone call, and so that's kind of a barrier. Or also, they may not know how this is going to work, so maybe if we can get a few early adopters to demonstrate the effectiveness of it, that you can connect the call in about 3 to 5 minutes, and then your patient is getting instructions in their language. We know this is a plausible subject for a small demonstration project. Demographic analysis on ethnicity. There's mixed evidence on ethnicity and exchange of pharmacy instructions. Adults' ethnicity is associated with the ratings at a significant level. The statistic is driven by a significant relationship in 2010. The rest of the test, the Cochrane Mantle Hansel CMH version of the test, is a way to for us to pool the sample across the year so we could get a sufficient sample size to do the test properly. The fact that 2010 differed and there's a borderline relationship in 2011 suggests that there's a little bit of confounding due to ethnicity. So ethnicity causes a difference in the relationship between pharmacist communication and patient satisfaction with pharmacist and also with the healthcare that they received. 2010 and 2009 had a lackluster performance. They manifest disproportionately fewer middle scores among black adults, offset by more respondents in the most negative category. The opposite pattern held in 2011, where the offset were fewer than expected black respondents in the middle category, was observed among the most positive scores. So it's a mixed effect. Our evidence, it seemed to, the relationship seems to switch the next year. Don't have any explanation for that, because I don't know of any initiative that we did that would have improved the communication between pharmacists. So the measure is a little bit unstable. That troubles me. But the fact that we're seeing associations and seeing some movement suggests it's worth looking into. Further analysis may reveal if the relationship's mediated or confounded by other factors, such as coding errors by the independent call centers used to do the survey. Contact to members by a disease management program, diabetes after 2008, might have also improved the members' perception of communication for at least that disease population, which is a large population. What appears to be a contradiction may be in effect, logged as clues to a problem, or logging it as clues or a guide to an intervention strategy to explore this further. Gender and age. There's little evidence that ratings of pharmacist instructions differ by gender, so it's about the same relationship for all of our patients in terms of their gender. By age or cohort, there is no difference. So we next would focus on how ratings of pharmacist instructions impact measures of healthcare system performance. Linking the instructions to, now this is where we try to tie it into something that the management cares about so that they would pay more attention to pharmacy and any improvements that we can identify or groups that need better service or better attention to the quality of instructions they're receiving. So we tried to tie it to things that management is rated on. For example, NCQ accreditation has a number of scored measures, so we wanted to see if the members' perception of the pharmacist's quality of instruction would impact anything that assesses the health plan, where administrators would say, oh, we need to pay more attention to pharmacy. So the two studies that we typically do are HEDIS's quality of clinical care measure, and CAPS refers to quality of services, where the member is considered to be the expert. Did they get quality service? So that's appropriate for a member survey to ask about quality of services, and pharmacy instructions are one type of service, and health outcomes would be another measure. Pharmacist instructions may lift other performance measures. So ratings of pharmacist instructions are strongly and positively associated with favorable ratings of pharmacy services. So for the adult survey, the relationship is highly significant, has a very large chi-square value, and that's pooled across years using Cochrane, Mantel, Hansel to deconfound by the fact that we combined a sample, and these are not combined samples naturally. That's a design issue that we wanted a stronger sample size, so we wanted to pool across years, and that treats it as one super sample, but when we know for a fact it is not one sample, so it tends to overstate the significance, and Cochrane, Mantel, Hansel is a way to see if that design is biasing the result. And so these are adjusted or corrected scores to account for our design. And it's still highly, highly significant, which means it's not due to random chance. The same effect held among parents, and it's even higher than, it's even higher for the children than it is for the adults. And again, this is talking about statistical significance, not effect size. So the next step for our research would be to take it onto an effect size measure to say, how much did this impact the rating of the health plan? That's the point. Association does not prove causation. Okay, do the pharmacist's instructions, does the quality of instruction lift other performance measures? They're positively associated with better ratings of healthcare, and that's a measure used in NCQA accreditation of health plans. So among adults, it's a significant and not quite as strong, or not quite as significant a finding as in the prior slide. Among parents, the same effect still held, and it's significant, but not as highly significant as the prior measure. I'm going to click back to that slide, I apologize. That prior measure was, 514 and 647, which is a very significant finding. Ratings of pharmacist instructions are positively associated with favorable health plan ratings. Now, this is the rating of the member's overall rating of the health plan, which often receive double credit in NCQA accreditation. So that's something that management pays attention to. And that's significant. 55.64 is the chi-square on that, highly significant. And among parents, same sort of thing, same story. So this is a measure which, the bottom half of the slide is a measure which health plan administrators pay attention to. And so the fact that we've tied a pharmacy measure, which normally does not appear on the studies that NCQA uses to rate health plans, we've established a linkage to something by which the whole health plan is rated. So that gives us a reason to push resources toward letting pharmacists know that members notice the quality of their instruction, give credit to those who score well, and do corrective action or work with those who are scoring more poorly. There's another item that we have on CAPS, which we showed how pharmacy relates to the three of the measures. These are how these measures relate to the overall plan rating. Members are asked to rate all health care, and it correlates. Up the y-axis is the degree of correlation with the overall plan rating, and across the x-axis is how favorable was the score. So all healthcare is the highest correlated with the overall plan rating. Providers' satisfaction with their PCP was next highest, and satisfaction with their specialist was next highest. Satisfaction with pharmacy was a little less correlated, so it's running fourth in that measure, but given that it doesn't even appear on CAPS, it's still correlated about 0.38 R-squared. So that's that makes it a worthwhile target, even though it's not as strong as some of the other measures on CAPS. It strikes me as a missing element on CAPS, that pharmacy is an area of service that hasn't been well measured, and it belongs in that measure, in our minds. So a recap of the learning objectives, sort of wrapping up here. First, describe how patients rate pharmacists. The scores are heavily positive, focus on the negative responses for best insights on where to improve. And then pooling across years allowed us to perform these tests to see where we're doing well. Second, evaluate patients' ratings of the quality of pharmacist instructions. A strong majority of adults, 63%, and 64% of parents of children rated the quality very favorably. So allows us by language suggests interpreter access may address one source of weak scores. Third, assess the impact of instructions on overall rating of quality of care. Well, there's a strong correlation. So this is a target worth going after, to measure quality of pharmacist instruction in order to improve members' overall healthcare experience. The fourth item, design question sets. We've had good experience with our question set on pharmacy instruction, and finding venues for reporting these findings out so that people can actually act on them. Our pharmacy director put it into the committee that deals with pharmacy and therapy, gave the findings to the pharmacy chains that we contract with, and one of them came back with a question: can we break down the county and find out where they're doing well and where they particularly are doing poorly? Next slide will deal with that a little bit. Identify barriers that impair pharmacist communication. Well, physician brand name prescribing sets up the patient to go to the pharmacist with a prescription they cannot fill because it's not on formulary, whereas the prescriber is writing in their familiar drug, which we don't have on formulary, and so the patient thinks the pharmacist is being a problem, and it's not the pharmacist's fault. So from these question sets that we got feedback from members on what problems they were having at the pharmacy. It gives us feedback we can give not to pharmacists, but to physicians to say, stop doing that, prescribe what's on the formulary. Or if there's a drug that you absolutely need, there's a process for getting it put on formulary, and that's been done, if they will go through that process. So making the finding actionable really quickly. First is communicating the results to contracted entities, which we do through the Pharmacy and Therapy Committee. Then communicating the results to the provider through a different committee so that they can stop doing the prescribing behavior that causes the problem with the member. The other problem with Medicaid is that member will often pay out of pocket for the drug the doctor asked for, and that's a bad idea for Medicaid because they don't have much money to begin with. Then feedback to the prescribing doctors. This was very quickly an analysis that one of the PBMs asked for, saying, where in the county did we have a problem? And again, the results are kind of scant because there are only 1 year's worth of data, and these are the regions breaking down LA County into 11 areas, and these are named areas that we have. So we could kind of direct them to where that particular PBM's stores were, the pharmacists were, where members rated them either excellently or poorly. And so it looks like our region 6 is an area where it had a lot of red items showing up. Had a lot of green too, but it was clearly an area where the red was beginning to show up. As that we can give them feedback that region 6, if they want to focus somewhere, region 6 isn't a bad start to take this feedback. Not to punish anybody, because it's thin feedback so far. This is basically LA County, and region 6 is, and the cursor. Region 6 is our, I can't see that from here, but I believe that's Region 4, and so 6 is down here, I believe, yes. Okay, so that region is the one where we would suggest they begin with their instructions. Okay, so ways to improve CAPS through service. Adding the questions onto the survey is a great idea. And then adding variables. If they take an intervention, we can add a question as to whether the member went to a pharmacy that got instruction, and add that as a variable onto CAPS that we can then analyze for effectiveness. So there are ways to improve the usefulness of the survey and giving feedback and to guide efforts. And this is who I am, and I'm done. Thank you. Thank you.